Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Hello and welcome to the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm producer Vin because there's no Gordon this week.
He's a bit sick. We're actually all a bit sick.
There's loads of great stuff on the podcast. There's interviews with Alt-J, Wolf Alice and the Amazons. And a bit of classic album chat when me and Gordon could both speak properly about Massive Attack. So I hope you enjoy that. Thank you to Ross Buchanan as well, who sat in for Gordon and had a quick chat with Joel from Wolf Alice. Hopefully we'll be fighting fit again next week. Gordon, if you can hear me, I miss you.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm thrilled to say two gentlemen have joined me who had a bit of good laugh last year, I think it's safe to say, in 2017. But they look fresh and ready to go in 2018. The Amazons are here. Matt and Joe, how are you boys?
Good.
We're well. Yeah. Very well.
And I think we should start, Joe, by saying congratulations. You've just had your honeymoon.
I have.
Yes.
Yes.
Still together?
Just. Yeah. It was good, actually. It was pretty... It was fun. It's the longest period of time I think I've spent with my wife in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It was a bit strange, but it was great.
Congratulations. And best of luck for the future as well. Now, lads, you're back to work today. I believe you might have had a rehearsal. How did it go after you dusted off the cobwebs?
Really? Don't start. Why did you have to start that?
I thought it was good. We weren't as loose as I thought we were.
Yeah, we were all right. It was like muscle memory kicking in a little bit. Yeah. Like, how do you play that riff again? I mean, it's only been about a month and a bit since we played our last show.
Can you imagine if we'd forgot?
Is it like that, you know, when you're at school and you go off for the summer holidays and come back and...
You've run out to write.
Yeah,
a little bit like that, to be fair. But actually, we were quite excited about playing songs that we've been playing for the last 2 years for the first time in a long time. I was like, this is a really good song. We should put this in the set.
And there's a very good reason for your rehearsal as well, because you are playing War Child celebration gigs before the Brits coming up in February, which is an amazing history to War Child. It was a classic thing back to 95, to the Help albums, when you probably weren't even alive, actually.
It made a lot of money, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it's like much. 1.2 million or something like that.
Yeah. But did you buy those albums? Do you know of those albums? And do you understand sort of the rich heritage of what War Child is?
To be fair, War Child for us has always been aligned with music. And as musicians, it's actually sometimes it's kind of hard to get the opportunities to make kind of direct change and directly help people.
It's great to see bands as well playing those smaller venues, because I kind of get the sense for you guys, this might be the last sort of little spell where you play venues this size. So you're playing Amira's in London, which I think is Mumford's pub, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the one.
Ben owns it, doesn't he? Yeah, Ben Lovett, I think.
Yeah.
Weird story about Ben Lovett. My mum and dad used to deliver vegetables to his mum. So my mum and his mum became really good friends.
Really?
Yeah. But that's besides the point. It's at Omira, yeah.
Yeah,
which is a great venue as well, isn't it? With lovely vegetables.
Yeah, beautiful.
There's
rich
good like
venue.
Amount of shrubbery hanging from like one of the bars. That's like ivy or something. Oh, I like the like vibe they've got in there.
Maybe my mum had an indirect like difference on the yeah.
We're going to play one of the songs that will sound amazing that night in Omira. This is one of the favourite tracks that we played in Radio X all through last year. This is absolutely brilliant. Black Magic by the Amazons on Radio X.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, boys, we've talked about brilliant gigs, right? We've talked about amazing shows you played. Never mind any of that. What's the one that sends your blood cold?
I'd say it's Festival. It weren't a Festival. It was a couple of years ago, and it was pretty much like this...
A Village Fate.
A Village Fate, that's what I was looking for. And we turned up and it had Festival in the name, and it wasn't a Festival, it was a Village Fate. And the stage was like a lorry.
A flatbed lorry.
Yeah, and we were like the walls were taken out, and then you kind of just... It was like a kind of like, almost like hillbilly kind of country and west.
Yeah, there's lots of hay bales and like lots of drunk people.
Right, and instead of like young people or whatever, it was like young families, and there was like bouncy castles and all this stuff, and like kids in pushchairs.
There was a huge really catch weird to this whole thing, because we were headlining it, but our set got cut short because the guy who was coming to pick up the flatbed had to tow it away, so we weren't actually allowed to play our full set.
We were like, before we played, we called our manager. And we're like, this is the one gig ever. We don't want to play.
We were
ever
in the pub, like, down the street, weren't we? And we were like, we're not playing.
We turned up, like, walked away, like, this can't be happening. Called our manager, please don't let us play. And then he made us. So,
oh, man. Thanks, man. From the ridiculous to the sublime, though, on February the 10th, I think it is. Is it the Hexagon in Reading?
The Hexagon. How have you known? You've heard of it, right? Everyone's heard of the Hexagon in Reading.
Of course we have. Yeah. It's named after a pair of trainers from the 80s, isn't it?
Right.
But this, every time I see you, we talk about this mad crop of talent coming from Reading at the moment. Sundara Karma, Matt Maltese, all in the same bill that night. You going to get them involved?
No, I don't know about...
Rope them in.
I think they're all... you know, we have got a Reading band in opening called Valeris, and we picked them because obviously us and Sundara Karma and Matt Maltese have gone off and we've just been touring, so we can't really stay in Reading and carry on the nights we were doing, and that's exactly what they're doing, keeping the scene alive, and that's the main thing. And then we've got Yonica, and so it should be a really good night, and I think it's like first time our grandparents have ever seen us.
Gents, after that, what is the plan for the year ahead then?
So yeah, we're going to complete that kind of February tour in the UK, which will probably be the last time we're around for a little while, and then we're going to go to Korea and Japan in March, which we're really excited about, and then we're going to come back for some festivals, and then we've got to do some kind of second record, don't we?
Any songs in the bag yet?
Couple.
Yeah.
Couple.
He says nonchalantly with confidence as well.
I'm dying inside, that's for sure.
the panic, the realising. Well, Jens, it's lovely to see you. And just one last reminder as well. What can we expect from War Child gigs? Yeah, you're doing Amira's. Anything else after that?
We're excited to just get a big... So we're going to come off the back of, like, our biggest ever UK tour. Yeah. And we're going to just cram as much... music and like production and stuff as we can into this 300 cap venue, and it's going to be the last show we do for a while in the UK, so we're just going to carry on playing and see if we can get thrown off the stage at some point.
We will see you there.
See you there.
Bring that bottle of whiskey with you, Joe.
Oh, well, it's lovely.
It's not going to make it by then, is it?
No.
It will be long gone by then. Great to see you, lads. The Amazons, lots happening this year. Cannot wait to see this. Following on from a brilliant 2017 as well.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So every Monday night on The Evening Show, we have a bit of classic album chat where we delve a bit deeper into an album we love. Since the turn of the year, we've had Melancholy by the Smashing Pumpkins, Rolling Stones' Beggar's Banquet, and Suede coming up just before Christmas as well. We did the Arcade Fire's Funeral. Really enjoy digging into albums we love, and there's one that I've wanted to do for a long time. I'm going to do it tonight. Massive Attack and Blue Lines is 1 month older than producer Vin in this album. Can you believe that? 27 years ago, 8th of April 1991, it came out. What a great album it is. I find myself going back to this all the time, and regardless of what mood you're in, it distracts you and makes you feel a little bit better about things. Great, great album. Released on Virgin Records, number 13 in the UK. NME called it the sleekest, deadliest, most urbane, most confounding LP 1991 has yet seen. That could stretch on for a couple of decades as well. Featured great songs, Safe From Harm, Finished Sympathy, Be Thankful For What You've Got, and Daydreaming, amongst others. Written, produced and mixed by the band, Robert 3D Del Naja, Grantley Daddy G Marshall, Andrew Mushroom Vells, and of course producer Johnny Dollar. It's a hip-hop album really, but with live instruments and a range of great vocalists, including rapper Tricky, singer Sharon Nelson, and I love this quote, right? Daddy G said, "We were lazy Bristol sods. It was Nina Cherry who kicked our backsides and got us in the studio. We recorded loads at our house," and this is brilliant, I love this line, "they were recording in our baby's room. It stank for months, and eventually they found a dirty nappy stuffed behind the radiator." So they were still DJing at the time, and I think this music had been kicking around for quite a while. Some of the songs they'd had for 7 years when this album was put together. But it introduced the world to trip-hop, fusing electronica and hip-hop with much slower tempos than expected. It was a long time in the making, like you see, and 3D said, "We worked in Blue Lines for about 8 months, with breaks for Christmas and, more importantly, the World Cup. But we started out with a selection of ideas that were up to 7 years old. Safe From Harm lately been kicking around for ages." So it was recorded across Bristol and in London. Most of the mixing was done in London. Loads of great beats and sampling. And there's this great cover, Be Thankful For What You've Got, which was a 70s soul song from William Devon. Massive Attack also filmed a video, and Paul Oakenfold created a lovely little remix. But in the end, it wasn't released as a single. But this is my favourite line about the whole thing, right? This is superb. What they were trying to do was create dance music for the head rather than the feet. That's perfectly sums up what this album was all about. Blue Lines tonight on Classic Album Chat. 27 years old, two songs to play for you back to back from that classic album. Safe From Harm, followed by Unfinished Sympathy. Enjoy.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week.
X. Radio.
Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Oh, that was phenomenal. Classic album chat tonight. Massive Attack and Blue Lines. Just want to play the rest of that album now, take an hour off. In fact, I was just saying there to producer Vin, if there was one album I would recommend anybody should buy on vinyl to listen to, it's got to be that. Blue Lines, absolutely sensational, loving it. Unfinished Sympathy, what about that? Loads of messages from you as well. How can this be 27 years old? A lot of messages along those lines as well. I was looking back to see if you were looking back at me to see me looking back at you, from Duchess Sharon. Damien as well, Safe from Harm on Radio X and announcing that it's 27 years old. Well, it's 27 in April. That's when the birthday is, but that's an unreal, isn't it? Stephen Ball got in touch to say, yep, just had to check, I'm old. And how about this one as well? From Rich in Cornwall, oh man, this is good to hear. First concert in 20 years is to see these guys at the Eden Project in the summer. It's going to be awesome. I quite fancy the sound of that, actually. If you're going to go and listen to that album, that's the place to hear it. So, Unfinished Sympathy, I just played for you. Initially released under the name Massive, not Massive Attack, because the band were worried about being banned during the Gulf War. It got to number 13 in the UK. And remember the video shot in LA, Sharon Nelson walking around from 1311 Southampshire Avenue to 2632 West Picot Boulevard. All the gangs, all the strangers, really moody stuff. And did you know it was the inspiration for The Verve when they made Bittersweet Symphony 6 years later? The orchestral section was originally played in synthesizers. Can you imagine what that would have sounded like? It just wouldn't have been the same. DJ Mushroom said, the synth sounded too tacky, so we thought we may as well use real strings. The orchestra definitely changed the feeling of the song, making it heavier and deeper with more feeling. Didn't know this before though. The orchestra were really good, but it took them 5 takes to do it because they were slightly behind the beat. But the best thing, they didn't budget for using a real orchestra, so they had to sell their Mitsubishi Shogun to pay for it, which is one of my favourite facts about that album. Before that, I played Safe From Harm, which was the third single and the opening track. What an opening track. The bass, guitar and drums were samples from a song called Stratus by Billy Cobham. Today is the first day that I've ever heard this, because we thought we'd dig it out and give you a little play for the inspiration for Safe From Harm. Have a listen. Hear that? Nice. Original jazz vibes on Radio X. Ah, it's fantastic, isn't it? Fantastic. So the drums sampled from Funkadelic. It got to number 25 in the UK, Safe From Harm. What a song that was. I'm going to go and listen to all of that from Billy Cobham later on in full. And just a reminder as well, the album cover was an Inflammable Material logo with Massive Attack printed at the top of it, which was influenced by the cover of a Stiff Little Fingers album called Inflammable Material. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did tonight. That was Classic Album Chat tonight. Poor Lines, Massive Attack. I'll have another one next week.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is the Evening Show on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart, and I'm very pleased to say, by the moderns of the marvel, sorry, of modern technology, we've got Alt J's Gus with us. I don't know, we can't say by phone, but we are by phone, aren't we, Gus?
I'm using a phone. Let's go with that.
It feels good. It feels lovely to see you, Gus. And I was just commenting on your lovely thatch. That's a tour beard you've grown there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much, Gordon. I'm quite pleased with it myself. Thanks.
So since, I think it's been about 6 months since you were last in the studio with us. Can you just summarise what's happened in the last 6 months? Has it been good? Has it been bad? Has it been indifferent? Has it been exciting?
It's been great, yeah. We've been touring pretty much around the world. We've spent a lot of time in America. We've been to Australia, Europe, Asia, just playing loads of gigs, getting the new album out there, seeing the reaction to it, which has been great, and having a good time. It's been awesome.
And the reaction has been phenomenal, hasn't it? It's been a lovely response to another. This is your third album, so yeah, you must be very thrilled and very pleased.
It's very gratifying, yeah. I mean, like, you know, we don't take it for granted that people stick with us, our fans and so on, so it's lovely to see the good response to the new album, yeah.
Now, Gus, can you paint a picture for us? You're a very eloquent and articulate man. Can you just paint a picture of where you are in the world right now? Because from where I'm standing, it looks like you're in just a normal hotel. Make it more exciting.
Okay, I'm in Copenhagen, middle of town, in my room. I have some lovely brown curtains, as you can see. All the usual things. I can see a little plate of fruit that I might have a little go on after.
Do you make time on tour to sort of explore a bit of the cities you visit? Because I think there's a temptation, or sometimes just happens when you're in a band, where you just see the airport, the venue, a tour bus. Have you seen much of it while you tour this time?
Yeah, we do always make an effort to try and get out there and do a bit of sightseeing, whether it's, you know, just going to find a cool bar after soundcheck, or, you know, just go by a postcard or something.
Now, Gus, we often hear about brilliant gigs, and I saw you perform at Glastonbury this year, or sorry, last year, which was absolutely outstanding. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was such a brilliant gig, and you know, one that will live with me for a long time. Sorry, how was that gig for you, first of all?
Yeah, it was really great. You know, it was our third time playing at Glastonbury. We had a lot of friends and family there. Headlining the other stage was a super cool privilege. So, yeah, it was awesome. It was a shame we couldn't stay for the whole weekend.
Yeah, but we ask about great gigs, but more often than not, we like to hear about the worst gig. What's the worst gig Alt-J have played? Is there one that makes your blood run cold?
We had a pretty bad one at Rock Werchter Festival in Belgium with a lot of technical problems, and that kind of threw us off. So we had to restart about five different songs. In front of a huge crowd because Foo Fighters were playing after us. I think all of us in bands do have nightmares about nothing works and you can't remember how to play any songs, and it did feel a little bit like one of those nightmares.
humbling moment, Gus. You okay to stick around a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
Gus from Alt-J, a little bit more from him in just a second.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
How far through the tour are we now?
We finished the European tour in around 2 weeks, so yeah.
So the reason you're with us tonight, Gus, is to talk about War Child, which, you know, for, I think we're both of a similar vintage, and War Child albums and music really hold quite an important place in our hearts, because some brilliant artists have performed for War Child over the years. What does it mean to you to be involved as a band?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, like you said, I grew up hearing about War Child albums, War Child gigs, and seeing these amazing musicians get involved in such a really incredible cause. So to be asked to do a gig for them is a huge privilege, and we're super excited to be doing it.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well, Mercury Prize winning, Ivor Novello winning, in a small venue. I mean, the Garage is a great venue in North London. But you play big, like we were talking about Glastonbury a second ago. What's it like to see the whites of eyes again when you go and do gigs?
It's nerve-wracking, you know. I mean, I think we always say that the smaller the crowd, the more nervous you get, because you feel more, you can really count the individual people in the room a bit more, and it feels more like you're more aware of what you're doing, I think. So, I mean, the last time we played the Garage, it felt enormous to us. We were supporting a band there about, I don't know, 7 years ago, but and going back there now, it's going to be probably even more scary than the first time.
Yeah, what's that like returning to the scene of a previous crime? You know, if you've played these venues before, and a lot has happened in 7 years, do you recall the experience? Do you remember the venues, or is it just another venue?
I'm pretty good at remembering them. Yeah, like, you know, doing a gig, even though we do so many of them, it is still a big thing to do. And so I think it does still kind of form a small memory in your brain, you know, regardless of how many of them you might do. I don't think there's a single gig that I've ever forgotten.
Oh, well, really looking forward. Hopefully we can come along and see it as well, Gus, because I think the idea of Alt-J in the Garage is pretty special.
Well, that would be really cool. I hope we can make it.
We'll see. Now, I've got to ask you one thing before you go. Would you mind sharing a little bit of a story with us for my really lowbrow book called Slash Gordon? It's about the most famous person we've encountered at bathrooms and had awkward conversations around. Has there been a moment on tour with Alt-J where you have found yourself making really terrible small talk in a urinal, perhaps at a gig or on tour or an award ceremony?
I can't think of one. Annoyingly, a guy who supported us in the band told us that he once had a slash next to Larry David, which was pretty cool.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But not my story, but I'll tell you anyway that so the guy was peeing next to Larry David, and he's like, I've got to say something. So he goes, Larry, listen, I absolutely love what you do. I'm a huge fan of what you do. And Larry goes, well, what I'm doing now is not that interesting.
You know, it's brilliant. Do you know what, Gus? It's the second time Larry David has been a Slash Gordon. Carl Barat. Carl Barat shared a bathroom with Larry David, which this feels like a sitcom making there, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it could all just be scenes from Curb, really, couldn't it?
Could indeed. Gus, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Best of luck with the rest of the tour, and also best of luck with the War Child gigs. Good on you for doing them.
Cheers, Gordon.
Radio
Tonight, we are graced with the wonderful presence of the lovely Joel from Wolf Alice. What's going on, mate?
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm good. I'm en route to Singapore.
Oh, nice.
So it should be quite fun. We're just on... Wolf Alice are doing Laneway Festival, which goes across Australia and New Zealand and Singapore. So,
exciting times. You've been out that way of the world before?
We've done Australia before. We've never done New Zealand, never done Singapore, and then we're ending in India for a few shows, and then on to Gorilla to do the War Child show.
Incredible. I'm actually off to Australia on Monday, so I was going to ask you, you're a band that's travelled around the world extensively. What's your top tip for travelling?
Don't drink all of the small wines that they give you on the plane on the first journey. If on the way home, you can drink as many of them as you want.
Take it easy. How'd you deal with the jet lag?
I don't ever at all. Some people have told us so many different tricks. Like, I don't eat the plain food. That's one thing that's supposed to help you, but I think I might have just started this rumor. Like, if you don't eat the food on the plane, they give you them at sort of weird times. You can sort of trick your body into doing it the next time.
Smart.
Yeah, but I think I made that up, so then maybe don't try it, I don't know.
Anyway, something Gordon Smart always likes to ask on the evening show is, what is the worst gig that you have ever played?
I think the worst gig that me and the other three have ever played was, we did a show at a venue called the Lexington.
Yeah.
Like, quite early on, and it was like our first kind of real sold-out London show, and like all the major labels had come to see us, and it was like the next big buzzy gig.
Lots of pressure.
Yeah, lots of pressure, and then Ellie's guitar pedal was sort of busted somehow, and she was tuning it, and it kept tuning everything down a step. We didn't realise until we started every song.
Oh, no.
And everything was out of tune, and then we stopped, and then we thought it was an amp, and about 20 minutes went past. Theo and Josh trying to, like, tell jokes and funny stories.
Which they're very good at.
Yeah. Yeah, they are funny. Yeah, Theo is quite funny. It's probably his biggest skill, just above faith. And, I don't know, it was one of those gigs where, like, if the ground crew followed me up, I would have been quite happy to just go down. I remember looking over, and our manager at the time, his head was just in his hand at the side of the stage. And he's usually not very fazed by things. So I was like, this is really, really bad. Really bad.
I'm sure you smashed it. That's good. Good effort, man. It's amazing. You guys are up for Best British Group at the Brits this year, alongside some brilliant company. Royal Blood, the XX, Gorillaz, London Grammar.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah, like, insanely flattered. I mean, we genuinely, I know people kind of say this, we just generally don't expect anything like that to kind of really, like, come our way, you know? We still think it's kind of weird to us to think of ourselves in, not in contest, but in, like, in a category with those kind of bands. They're massive bands, you know, the four of us.
You guys are a massive band. You
know? Yeah, it's weird. I guess the four of us don't ever really, like, potentially perceive it as that, you know, so it's always when these things come around, just like, oh, okay, you know, growing up with bands like Gorillaz.
Are you going to be behaving at the Ritz?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'm gonna try and not drink anything while I'm there, which I didn't do last time, but this time I'm gonna do that.
I'm not gonna lie, that was not the answer I was expecting.
Yeah, well, I think it's for everyone's benefit if I have a lime soda at this Ritz.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm chatting to Joel, the lovely Joel from Wolf Alice. Hello, Joel.
Hello, mate. Good song. Back on tours.
Yes, mate. Top music from Jack White. So you're playing the War Child show in Manchester on the 20th of February at the Gorilla. Are you excited? War Child, great charity.
Yeah, so looking forward. So flattered to be asked, actually. It's an amazing charity, and it's done so much good work for so many years, and, you know, obviously it incorporates, you know, music element into it as well, the CDs, and yeah, we're happy to play, and we love Manchester, and I really like Gorilla. It's a great venue, so it should be really fun.
Exciting times. I saw you at XOYO when the album dropped.
Oh, cool.
And you guys really know how to tear apart an intimate venue.
Yeah, I mean, we had some practice, I guess. Like, it was venues that size with no one in them for a good 2 years for Wolf Alice. So we've had a few times to practice, I think.
So now you're taking it to all these massive venues across the world. Are you looking forward to taking it back to this tiny little venue in Manchester?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, hopefully it'll be a really good atmosphere, because everyone's there for the right reason, you know, supporting a great charity, and yeah, we'll do our best to provide a really good night of music in a really, really one of my favourite cities in the world, Manchester. So I'm excited to go.
Fantastic. So if you want to see Wolf Alice on the 20th of February at the Gorilla in Manchester, the draw is still open. You can still win tickets to see them by donating £5 to BritsWeekWarChild.co.uk. Get involved. And thank you so much for chatting to me, Joel.
No worries, mate. It's my pleasure. All good.
In a bit, have a lovely time in your travels.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy Australia.
Thanks, honey. Bye.
Radio X.